It's 12:09. You're listening to WGN's Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete Zimmerman is our producer. I'm John Williams. I'll be here till 1 o'clock. Mayor Lori Lightfoot is scheduled to speak around 1 o'clock. You'll hear Anna DeVlantis afterwards talking about that, as well as other stories in the news and on Anna's mind, and I trust yours too. A quick note as we get started on the business lunch, since the city and state are now at phase four, what exactly does that mean to you and to me and to businesses?
Well, they will be on Friday. Phase four.
Pardon me, did I say today? I know that the lakefront is open today, except for the beaches, which is kind of where the lake is. But still, today is a big day to go over to the water. Don't get in. And then on Friday, we go to phase four. Just a couple of notes about that. So what does that mean? The following industries, according to WGNTV.com, will be open for the first time at the beginning of phase four in Chicago. Indoor seating in bars and restaurants Friday. Indoor seating in bars and restaurants, museums and zoos, performance venues. By the way, we got a text from somebody who works at one of the museums in town. Person did not say which one, but said, "The idea that No Mask Mary is coming to my museum terrifies me." We have a regular caller who listens to my 9 to noon show. Her name is Mary. We've dubbed her No Mask Mary. She listens a lot and calls in, tells us about her travels. She never wears a mask. And what it's like for her and the people around her. Yeah, she's a little belligerent that way. And Mary may go to the zoo or to the museum, and the people that work there will be the victims of the Marys who have the virus and don't know it. Or at least that's their concern, right? Indoor seating in bars and restaurants on Friday open. Museums and zoos open. Performance venues open. Summer camps and youth activities open. But remember that physical distancing and wearing a face covering will still be, well, does it say required here? While the progress has been made in order to move to phase four, officials said residents should continue to abide by guidelines such as physical distancing and wearing a face mask, limiting non-business social gatherings to 50 persons. So a limit to 50 persons in a restaurant or in a venue might still keep that place closed. Staying at home if you're considered vulnerable. So we've achieved stable or declining cases, along with a goal of reaching fewer than 200 new COVID-19 cases per day. So we've leveled off or we're declining, and we have fewer than 200 new cases a day. The seven-day average is 167.
So that's for Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that gets us to phase four on Friday.
So the number that I've been looking at is the hospitalization rate for Illinois over the past 28 days is down 85%.
Wow.
So that's a nice number.
I'm not going to get political here. I don't mean this way at all. It's just simply a fact what Steve said. Our state has been the most locked down of all the states, according to a Wallet Hub survey. We talked to the people that put it together. They said we looked at all of the metrics, like schools closing, social distancing, business closing, et cetera, et cetera. No one was more locked down than Illinois. Illinois is opening back up while other states are having to decide what to do now. Hopefully we don't get another wave ourselves. But that's at least where we are. About the interaction then with one another, lots of texts. Next, John, I asked somebody at Menards, "Hey, where is your face mask?" And guess what? That person waited for me in the parking lot when I got out and said, "What are you, a member of the mask police?" Some of you are afraid to even broach the subject for what might happen. And for some of you, it appears to be a legal issue. I was in Aldi's and a woman did not have a mask on. The manager would not say anything to her for liability reasons in case the woman was not wearing the mask because of a medical consideration. The lakefront and 606 Bloomingdale Trails will reopen today. I think they opened at 6 o'clock this morning. So enjoy. It's 12:13. Okay, let's continue on the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm watching the clock here. Lori Lightfoot scheduled to speak in about 44 minutes on WGN. Once she starts talking, you'll hear it from the WGN Radio Newsroom. Catherine Davis joins us again, Associate Editor at Chicago Inno. You can visit AmericanInno.com/Chicago. Hi, Catherine. You're on WGN. How are you today?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Doing pretty well, to be honest with you. And each day that we sort of travel through this summer, I'm liking my chances more and more.
I know. Very happy that the lakefront trail opened today.
You know, just between you and me, I had this sort of fatalistic attitude. I was talking to some friends, and I said, I come downtown every day. I do a lot of the shopping for my family, more than I used to. And I sort of felt like, in time, I'll probably get it. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. And now, mm-hmm. halfway through June, and I haven't. And so, lucky me and you if you haven't. But when someone says, how are you doing? It seems like more than just a hello, how are you? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I feel like now there's just more to be grateful for than ever before.
Let's talk about some of the things on the tech side. It's so well put. Let's start with this Cameo story that Jim Dahlke wrote. Cameo now lets you book 10-minute Zoom calls with celebrities rather than a recorded message. You can interact with these people, huh?
That's right. You know, this is just kind of the latest move from Cameo that shows it is growing and it's popular and that, you know, people really love their product. Especially in a COVID world, Zoom has become, you know, a big part of almost everyone's life. You're taking Zoom calls maybe daily if you're doing it for work or for personal. And Cameo is, you know, really giving its customers a way to interact with celebrities and influencers and these high-profile people in a totally new way. I mean, I'm just trying to picture, like, who's someone that I would want to have a 10-minute conversation with, like, live? And it's really exciting to think about and a lot more interesting than just a recorded message, which, you know, could just be kind of one of many that they're sending to fans all across the country.
Yeah, my brother just got one from Fergie Jenkins, but it was pre-recorded. It was a perfect gift for my brother, by the way. But I don't know that Fergie, it's not the same list, right? Not everybody on Cameo is giving you 10 minutes of live interaction, are they?
No, not every single person. I think the celebrities have to opt into it. Some examples are NSYNC's Lance Bass is doing it, but it will cost you about $1,200. So, you know, of course, these Zoom calls cost a lot more than just the original Cameo product of the recorded call, because comparatively, just a recorded call from Lance Bass is $249. So, pretty pricey.
Okay, I'm looking at the list, so I can talk to Andrew Dice Clay for $1,400. I would give Andrew Dice Clay $1,400 to not talk to me, but that's okay. Sinbad, $250. Gilbert Gottfried, $750.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that. Brett Favre is at $5,000.
Wait, who is?
Brett Favre.
Okay, that's crazy because. Promise me that Brett does not need $5,000. I wonder why he's doing that. That's crazy. And he's not like a player who needs to up his brand and be popular with the fans. That's Brett Favre, $5,000.
That's right.
Okay. That's on Cameo, a Chicago-based app or website. Talk to me about the scooter pilot program that's going to resume in Chicago. It was a pilot last year. Weren't last year they going to pick the winner or winners? What's happening this year?
Yeah, so last summer's pilot actually included 10 different scooter companies. So these were from, you know, pretty familiar companies. Uber has a scooter service, Lyft has a scooter service, and then there's other competitors like Lime and Vio Ride, which is actually Chicago-based. And the pilot went pretty well. I think people were really receptive to it. You know, there were a few sort of casualties or accidents. I think there were about 200 reported incidents of people going to the hospital due to scooter-related injuries. But generally speaking, it was successful, and the pilot is resuming this summer. And right now, the city is in the process of selecting the scooter companies that will participate. But unlike last year, only three will participate this year. So it'll be sort of interesting to see who, you know, rises to the top here and who is going to be providing these services going forward.
Those aren't out there yet, though, are they?
No, those aren't expected to be announced until the beginning of next month.
I wonder if the COVID crisis is going to impact that. You're sharing handlebars, if nothing else, with people that, you know, you don't know what their condition is, and nobody's come by and wiped the scooter down since they last set it down. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a huge concern for a lot of people this summer. You know, it's something I'm thinking about as someone who used the scooters last year. But, you know, the city said that they are going to have a policy in place that requires the scooter employees to wipe down and sanitize a scooter every time they come in contact with one. So I'm not sure what the formula is there. You know, you imagine that there'll be multiple uses of an individual scooter in between an employee coming to sanitize it. I think it's really going to kind of come down on, you know, individual choice. And if you're willing to take that risk and get on a scooter the same way you may be taking a risk to get on the L train or a bus these days.
You know, I was just thinking that maybe they could find some way to lie a particular scooter dormant for a while, because after a period of time, the scooter won't work or the virus will die. So maybe, although you might not discover that that one wasn't working until you touched it anyway. Okay, never mind. I'm not on that team. Talk to me about Salesforce. I'm looking at a, no, pardon me, not that one. Here it is. The Go Health company has got a $100 million IPO. Is that right?
That's right. So Go Health, they are a Chicago Medicare-focused health insurance marketplace. Essentially, they help people find health insurance plans that work for them. They work with big insurers like Cigna, Anthem, Humana, some of those big companies we're all familiar with. And they filed on Friday to raise up to $100 million in an initial public offering. So, you know, in the tech world, this is a pretty big deal when a tech company decides to go public as opposed to getting acquired. And, you know, the most recent company, Chicago tech company, to go public was Sprout Social. That happened at the end of last year, and they also were raising $100 million in an initial public offering. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see kind of how Go Health does on the public market when it hits. You know, other tech companies have been criticized for, you know, kind of having these really big valuations as they were growing, but then hit the public market and weren't quite as valuable as people thought they might be. So it'll just be interesting to see, you know, where GoHealth lands when it officially goes public.
Accenture's new Midwest lead transitioned 11,000 employees to remote work during the first few days on the job. Boy, if they can do that, maybe we could all take a page from their book, huh?
I know. This is a really fun story to write. You know, the news being that Accenture has hired Lee Moore to lead its Midwest team, which is a team of 11,000 people. 6,200 of them are based here in Chicago. And he started March 1st, and by March 15th, all the employees were required to work from home. So, you know, you just imagine taking a new job like that that's already just a huge responsibility and then having to deal with a crisis like COVID. You know, Lee was telling me just about how difficult it was, and, you know, all the employees are scared and confused. He's also kind of scared and confused and just trying to adjust to a new role and lead 11,000 people through a crisis.
How specific was he with you when you wrote about this piece? You spent some time with him. What tips or stumbling blocks did he encounter that we would benefit from knowing about?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he says like the biggest challenge was just keeping all these remote workers engaged and connected to each other. So he said that Accenture's video call capacity had gone up like 500%. So, you know, they were creating virtual water coolers, virtual happy hours, there's virtual yoga classes, and just sort of things to keep the team connected and, you know, talking to each other, because that's something you really miss out on when everyone's working from home and not in the office and getting that face-to-face time. Mm-hmm. You know, other challenges he talked about was just, you know, the ability to make sure people still had a good work-life balance. He talked about how, you know, he was really transparent with employees about he's spending time with his family and he's taking downtime and taking care of his both physical and mental health during a pandemic is, you know, as important as ever, and just wanted to convey that to the staff as well.
I suppose some of that is happening organically. That is, I know members of the WGN radio sales team, not because anybody told them to, were on Fridays having a Zoom call and cheering each other on and checking in with each other. I'm not sure if they're still doing that, but I know at the beginning of the pandemic they did. If a company would sort of institutionalize something like that, especially to the degree of, you know, exercise breaks or something like that, that sounds like a good idea. Catherine Davis writing about this, associate editor, Chicago Inno, AmericanInno.com/Chicago is the website. They've always got such interesting articles on there. Catherine, nice to talk to you again.
Thank you, John.
You bet. Have a good day. 12:34, Wintrust Business Lunch. This is WGN Radio. Elise Glink is on the phone line, and Steve Bertrand is in the WGN Radio newsroom. Elise, Steve just did a story. I want to make sure I heard correctly. Feel free to chime in. Steve, what did you say about the Ford Bronco?
So they've redesigned, or they're going to renew the Ford Bronco, and they had set up a time to introduce the all-new Ford Bronco, and it was on July 9th. July 9th happens to be O.J. Simpson's birthday, and they realized that the optics for that weren't very good. I mean, it's not too unlike the Trump rally on Juneteenth. It just was the bad idea because when we think Bronco, too often I think we think O.J. Simpson and that chase. So they've moved it back now to July 13th.
Well, however ignorant we may have been about Juneteenth, I think we are even more ignorant about O.J.'s birthday.
Well, he's 73 and he's registered at Crate and Barrel.
I think they could have let that go promoted the fact that they're skirting around his birthday. Nobody knew it was his birthday.
Yeah, that would have come out. That would have
really.
Been, I think it probably was even pointed out to them when they decided to make the change.
So now the new Ford Bronco comes out a week later.
Huh? 4 days later, so we can handle that.
Do they have a white one, by the way?
I'd like to say, guys, that's my birthday. So
oh no, which one?
July 13th. So I don't know. Should I be expecting a white Ford Bronco in my driveway with a big red ribbon?
You get a Bronco, and you get a Bronco. But O.J. does not. All right.
Poor
so,
OJ.
Elise, let's talk a little bit with you, too. Elise Glink joins us on Mondays, the real estate and financial wellness expert. Visit thinkglink.com. So where are we on the real estate front, then, right now?
Well, it's pretty interesting what's going on out there. Houses in the suburbs across the country, not just in the Chicago North and Western and even some of the suburbs others, it's on fire. People have decided they just don't want to live in crowded, packed places, and so they're going out and they're buying homes in the suburbs. So we're reversing a trend that we first saw with millennials, where they all wanted to live in the city, in urban environments, close to restaurants, and now they don't.
Is it? I guess that makes sense, and I understand that. I thought, though, the sweet spot wasn't so geographic as it was price-wise. That is, say, a $300,000 home in the city is much more attractive right now than a $500,000 home. Is that true around the area?
I think that pricing is one thing, but there are some great deals to be had in suburbs. And I think space, according to the latest data from the National Association of Realtors and a couple of other resources, it's looking like space is the premium over even price and location that way. So the more space you can get, the better they like it, especially if more people are going to stay working from home.
Three most important words in real estate in the Chicago area used to be walk to train, at least where I was living at the time. Walk to train, not location, location, location. I wonder if that will still be a premium for people.
Before Elise answers, can I just give you a real quick update, John? You know, we've been talking about thunderstorms coming through the area, and we just got our first warning of the day, a severe thunderstorm warning until 1:15, and this is for the Will County area. It's actually, the storm is over Elwood now near Shanahan. You've been bringing up Shanahan earlier.
Yeah.
60-mile-an-hour winds. Towns in the path of the storm include Joliet, Orland Park, Tinley Park, Lockport, Franklin Square, Rockdale, places like that, Manhattan as well, and Elwood. So a thunderstorm moving through for about the next 35 minutes or so.
That's southwest of downtown Chicago, obviously, in the city where I'm looking out our 18th-story window. We've got mixed skies, some puffy white clouds, some blue, and some kind of dark haze over the city right now. Back to you, Elise Glink. So I was talking about what other factors are measuring into attractive real estate, like maybe location to public transportation. If everybody's going to move out for space, they're still going to want to get into the city, though, right?
Well, they might. When you were away last week, and I was sitting in for you, we were talking a little bit about, and some people called in to say that their employers had said, either if you're going to come in, we only want you to drive. And so that sparked a conversation about literally getting on the road and driving. And we're seeing traffic start to increase. But if everybody drives to downtown, there won't be enough parking spaces, let alone
congestion on the roads. And so it'll be interesting to see when everybody's going to feel safe enough to actually get on public transportation. I would want to buy something near public transportation of some sort, because I just don't think it's sustainable for everybody to drive all over the place.
Let me read you a line from CNBC.com today. Tight supply in the real estate market has kept pressure on home prices. Tight supply has kept pressure on prices. The median price of an existing home sold in May was $284,000. That's an increase of 2.3% compared with May of last year. The smallest annual rise since February of 2012, but still, prices are holding. Is that one takeaway?
Prices are holding. They're rising. Mortgage interest rates are falling. Believe it or not, we are as close to the low as we have ever been. Actually, I think we are setting new low records for the rate interest rates that people are getting. One of the things, though, John, to keep in mind is that the number of homes for sale is at something like a 100-year low. People really are not putting their homes in the market. Nobody yeah. seems to really want to move. And so the homes that are for sale, there's tremendous competition in Chicago and elsewhere. What's nice about that for Chicago is we have really lagged in the whole home price valuation game that goes on across the country. And this has been going on since, you know, for the last 12 years. We had a huge number of foreclosures that always put us in the top five states for foreclosures since the Great Recession. And I would say that our home price appreciation has been middling to poor through the last 12 years. But this is really starting to firm things up. And we're seeing homes sell, which is actually good news for a lot of sellers who do want to get off the dime and move.
Less than a minute left. Elise, I want to talk to you about five charts that track how the U.S. economy is moving, how we can watch it evolve through this pandemic. You just talked about home purchases. What are you hearing about restaurant bookings?
So restaurants are still only about 42% full in this state now. We're starting to get limited opportunities to go into restaurants. We'll see if people want to do that now that people in other states that are doing it are getting sick. But watch restaurant bookings and watch hotel occupancy rates. Right now, we're still at about only 40% occupancy for hotels. And I think it's only the hotels that are open. There are a number of hotels that are, yeah. lots of hotels that are closed. And then finally, watch U.S. air travel. It's still down about 80% year over year, but it's slowly starting to move up.
Would all three of those areas have bottomed out in your mind?
Gosh, I sure hope so. I think it's really hard to prognosticate at this point. There's just so much we don't know about whether coronavirus is going to come back and how much. But my guess right. is they probably have.
Elise Glink, thinkglink.com. Thanks for your time and thoughts today, Elise.
Always, John.
Oh, hey, and I only heard rave reviews about how well you did while I was gone last week. Thanks for filling in.
Oh, big shoes, but I had a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah, we got good folks here. That's Elise Glink. It's 12:42. So let's get a Wintrust Business Minute from Steve Bertrand.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. Amazon will build two new fulfillment centers to be located in Matteson and Markham in the south suburbs. The project will offer 2,000 new jobs. The fulfillment centers will also feature Amazon's innovative robotics technologies. Mayor Lightfoot made it official the city will move into phase four of recovery on Friday. That means indoor seating in bars and restaurants, museums and zoos can open, and performance venues as well. Of course, all with restrictions. And two Chicago startups made CNBC's Disruptor 50 list. Cancer-fighting startup Tempus and clean energy startup LanzaTech were both named to the annual list. It identifies private companies with world-changing ideas. That's the Wintrust Business Minute. I'm Steve Bertrand.
Steve Alexander, what are you seeing on the agribusiness front?
Well, let's talk about what Orion would be glowing and gushing about right now if he were here, and that is that the Illinois Racing Board today gave the go-ahead for thoroughbred racing at Arlington International Racecourse. As you know, Big O is a big fan of Arlington, also of horse racing, because it is a purely agricultural pursuit. Cranes reported that the racing is going to be allowed 3 days a week beginning in late July. No spectators allowed, but there will be betting at off-track betting locations. Also, June is Dairy Month, and I know Orion's been talking about that. Tradition requires dairy breakfasts be held on dairy farms, where they host a pancake breakfast and allow people to nose around the farm and see how things are done. Well, because of COVID, those came to a halt this year, except in western Wisconsin. They weren't going to let a little pandemic get in the way of this tradition. Saturday, at two locations in Pepin County, there were dairy breakfast drive-thrus at two locations. Over 1,100 cars lined up to drive through. People picked up not their pancakes, but complete dairy breakfasts. Bags full of, well, let's see, a gallon of milk, pancake mix, cheese curds, sausage, pudding, real maple syrup. And I got to tell you that that part of Wisconsin makes some great maple syrup. Yeah. Some yogurt, butter, and some chocolate milk as well. Also, this is National Pollinators Week. The week that we celebrate to give our bees and other pollinators a little love. Plants of all kinds benefit from the work of pollinators. A lot of the fruit, vegetables we eat, even the flowers in your gardens. They include, of course, bees and butterflies and moths and beetles and bats and flies and hummingbirds. So hats off to the pollinators out there. Checking agricultural markets at the Chicago Board of Trade. Right now, wheat is up 2 cents. Beans and corn are both down. Beans down about a half a cent. Corn is down 4 1/4. A lot of that is because of the rain that's coming through, which is giving some moisture to some areas of the Corn Belt that have really needed it. And when conditions improve, the market price goes down in a really kind of a creepy inverse way that that happens. And that's your money on 720 WGN.
By the way, Steve Alexander, I know you've worked with a lot of professional athletes, and we were talking earlier about how Cami, the Chicago-based Cameo, the Chicago-based website or app where you can get video messages from famous people, now is going to offer a 10-minute live interaction where you can talk to these celebrities. And one of them is Brett Favre, and it's $5,000. Andrew Dice Clay is $1,400. Gilbert Gottfried is $750. It's a strange mix. I was surprised to see Brett Favre in there. Did you have any insight in? Because I said, what is Brett Favre doing? He doesn't need $5,000. What's he doing?
Nah. Well, I don't know if he needs the money or not. A lot of times these folks will set the price so high that they don't have to do it. You know, it's kind of a...
Or do many. But at 5,000, Brett Favre will get traffic.
But Favre was with them from the very beginning. When they first released celebrities doing the Cameo announcements, Favre was right there.
Yeah, and if you look at the recorded versions that are available, Favre is priced at $300 right now. Joe Madden does one for $399.
$399?
All of that money for the recorded one. And all of that money goes to his Respect 90 Foundation, which is helping out people and organizations that are having trouble because of COVID.
Ah. Okay, now, really? Well, I'm going to bet and hope that that's what Brett Favre's motivation is, right?
Well, it doesn't say so on the site, but, you know, we can hope.
Let me have that, because, I mean, hey, if I want to give you $5,000 and you want to take $5,000, that's a transaction none of us has any business standing in the way of, but it's still surprising to me because Brett Favre is such an iconic personality and athlete. I think plenty of Packers fans, maybe even some Jets fans, are going to line up, or Vikings fans, and talk to him about that. And I think he's going to regret this decision if he's not careful.
Wait, wouldn't you love to be a Bears fan and just rip into him?
You suck, Brett Favre.
You can't find me.
You guys, you lead the league in interceptions, too. They never say that.
How many minutes is it?
Ten minutes.
Wow.
Which reminds me, we're out of time. Thank you, Steve Alexander.
See you, John.
It's 12:48. This is WGN. Amy Guth is watching the local business scene. That's next. 12:50, WGN Radio News in 10 minutes. Lori Lightfoot, as you may have heard, the mayor's press conference scheduled for 1:30 now, but she's still set to speak, as is Amy Guth, who follows a bunch of business fronts for us here on the Business Lunch on WGN. While we've got some time, Amy, let's talk a little bit about what Phase 4 means to the city and state, and maybe also touch on Amazon hiring in the south suburbs. But first, where are we, according to J.B. Pritzker and Lori Lightfoot?
Yeah, so many things to talk about today, indeed. But so Pritzker made it official a little bit earlier today that we are moving into Phase 4 on Friday. That means gyms, theaters, inside dining. There are, of course, still some safety precautions. It's Phase 4, not Phase 5, so they still want people to be really mindful. As for the city, it really pretty much mirrors that. It's along with, you know, that same kind of things reopening. The Chicago Department of Public Health Commissioner Allison Arbery said something I thought was really important to highlight. She said, we're just now moving from a high risk to a medium high risk city for COVID-19 spread. So it wasn't, you know, I think she really wanted to underscore, hey, this doesn't mean everybody go out and pretend like nothing happened and everything's fine. There, in fact, are some, we are seeing spikes in cases in other cities and states that reopened before we did. And she mentioned that. So she's like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be one of those cities. Let's not do that. So let's be smart about this and really, really lean on the public health guidance and avoid that kind of spike so that we can keep open a little while, you know? So, you know, I think it'd be interesting. So Friday, I think we'll see a big shift in just kind of the feel of things out in the world. I think I don't know about you, but I certainly feel like over the last week or so, traffic has certainly picked up. It seems like a lot more activity out in the world. So, yeah, so we'll see. But this is all set to happen on Friday.
Indoor capacity, though, for these restaurants and bars is still going to be at 25% or 50 people. So I wonder, too, Amy, how many of these businesses will be able to profitably open up in that situation?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that same thing, too. And, you know, I know this came up last week when we were talking about sidewalk dining opening, that there's the ability now to, as long as you don't have a restaurant next to you, you can expand your outdoor seating a little bit, which, you know, you can open all day, but I think patrons have to feel comfortable. So it might be that more people are more comfortable outside than inside, but maybe not. You know, that's up to every person to decide for themselves, review information and decide for themselves. So, you know, I wonder, too, what that's going to look like. You know, obviously, you can't pack the place like you could 6 months ago. It's going to look different. But also, are people going to want to be outside? You know, if my neighborhood is any indication, I think they will. I saw a lot of people out and about over the weekend. You know, we'll see what that looks like. You know, for statewide, that is some indoor and outdoor gatherings can come back together. So, you know, that's 50 people or less and you know, 100 outside. So we'll start seeing some bigger groups, you know, for indoor dining. You can have groups of up to 10, but tables are going to have to be 6 feet apart. Capacity, as you said, held at 25%. Even that, you know, we've all kind of seen that, excuse me, where there's a table, there's another table 6 feet away, but, you know, you're sitting there and chairs kind of move and suddenly you're sitting about 2 feet from a person. So
yep.
I think it's going to be hard to enforce, but we'll see. I think it's going to be a big learning experience for a lot of industries that are trying to stay afloat right now.
You said that you saw people anxious to go out in your neighborhood. Do you live in the city?
I do, yeah. I live in the city and you know, just kind of ran out to the store just to kind of see. And I try to get out and walk a little bit and get some fresh air. And I saw a lot of people out. I would also note that I saw quite a bit fewer masks in use than I have in previous weeks. I feel like a lot of people, almost everybody was using them. I didn't see as many. Of course, you're sitting on a patio having a drink or eating something, you're not going to wear a mask. But, you know, just kind of walking around, even I saw a bit fewer masks. So I'm sure there'll be a comment on that from public health officials moving into this phase and really making sure people are being really mindful about it and keeping that public health data really top of mind because, you know, as noted, you know, we don't want to go and see, we don't want to become one of those cities that spikes shortly after a reopening phase like we have seen in other cities.
Our mayor and governor will shut us back down. They have no problem making life miserable for us for our own good. Amazon is hiring 2,000 people in the south suburbs. This is new, huh?
Yeah, so they're going to hire about 2,000 people in south suburbs at fulfillment centers in Madison and Markham. And that's going to make their, you know, they've already got 11,000 people here, like distribution centers, things like that. So that's going to be like a pretty good chunk of people. These are all about this kind of this last stop refuel station, right? Because there's so much competition to get your stuff, whatever it is you just ordered off of Amazon, to get it faster. You know, we want that Prime one day. We want that maybe 2 hour delivery. So Amazon more and more as a strategy is trying to put more distribution centers closer to big city metro areas so that they can fulfill orders a lot faster. So this is part of that strategy. They're also going to lean on their own proprietary automated technology to you know, work in these factories. One of them will be rented. One of them they own. So the one in Madison is that is one they own, and then the one in Markham is one that they're leasing. But both of those have been developed. The one in Markham is an Indianapolis-based Scannell Properties. They've developed a lot of other stuff in the Midwest. So, you know, this is just that kind of increasing footprint for Amazon, and I suspect it'll be much bigger by the time it's all said and done, even probably in the next year. It seems like this is, you know, a very focused strategy to really beef up their presence in big metro areas. But, you know, I think that cities in the middle of the U.S., I think Chicago is a very key city for them. I think, you know, some of these other big hubs that are kind of gateways to a regional area are so key to them. So I think we're just going to see more and more of this kind of expansion. But for now, this is going to mean 2,000 jobs to the south suburbs, which is, you know, no small thing.
Amen to that. Madison and Markham in the Chicago area. All right. Amy Guth, business reporting on WGN. Thanks again, Amy. Stay well.
Thanks, John. You too.